You're welcome back to the programme. It's 7:42. I think we can see the first signs of brightness outside here in Westminster. It's a damp morning, a chilly morning here. And of course, the unfolding story, the big story, is the resounding victory of Boris Johnson's Conservatives. As he said himself, this means that Brexit will happen on the 31st of January. No ifs, no buts. With us are Finn MacRedmond, columnist and Irish Times contributor. Also here, Torkel Crichton, Westminster editor of the Scottish newspaper The Daily Record. Finn, let's start with you. Lots to talk about this morning. What stood out for you? How would you characterise what we're looking at today?
What we're looking at mostly is an unprecedented Tory gains in Labour heartland seats. Seats that have been held by Labour, some of them since the 1920s. The Tories coming in here and in some cases completely destroying the vote share there. And then we see this complete breakdown of what was known throughout the election campaign as the Red Wall, all these Labour target seats. We've also seen some really key figures lose out. So Laura Pidcock losing out in Northwest Durham to a Conservative MP.
She's somebody who had been tipped, as a future Labour leader.
Tipped as a future Labour leader. And then, not only the possible leaders, but we had Jo Swinson, a very newly elected leader of the Lib Dems out in Scotland, and Nigel Dodds, obviously, out in Belfast. So it was quite a dramatic and ruthless night for some of the big names of politics. But mostly we're looking at that collapse in the Labour vote in the Labour heartlands.
Mm-hmm. We heard Boris Johnson talking a few minutes ago about his party being a one nation party, about the United Kingdom, but I suppose what this shows, Torkel, is that it's anything but one nation we're looking at here, because when you look at the performance of the SNP in Scotland, they had a fantastic night.
Well, we just heard a rather vainglorious and ungracious victory speech there from a politician, a prime minister, who says he's in charge of one nation, but in fact is in charge of two divided nations. They still leave remain divided in Britain, 52-48, although it looks like some Remainers may have gone the other way and we could say goodbye to that second referendum. And then we have a twin mandate in Britain now. We have a mandate from Boris Johnson to leave the European Union quick style in January, put a sock in the megaphone, as he said himself there. And then we have Nicola Sturgeon in Scotland with a renewed mandate, another high tide for the SNP, 48 out of 59 MPs. They've had 56 before, but still not achieved independence. She'll be putting the application in for these powers for independence later today, I'm sure. So rather than trying to bring the nation together as dawn broke on a new day, Boris Johnson seems to have ignored the vanquished. He's got rid of Jeremy Corbyn. Corbyn won't lead them again. Labour are in deep trouble. Labour are now in trouble in England, in the same kind of trouble they were in Scotland in 2015. They wake up looking round, wondering how they lost these seats and not having a clue how to win them again, because they never had to earn the vote in the first place. They took these places for granted.
It seems extraordinary to imagine now. It seems like another universe, that time back in 1997 when Tony Blair swept to power and when Labour just had an astounding result right across Scotland.
Well, 1997 is what, almost 30 years ago. Oh, it may seem like yesterday to us.
It's 22 it's years.
May seem like yesterday to us, but it's a long time. And you know, by the time this Tory government comes in 2024, it will be decades since we've had a Labour. In fact, you've got to remember, we've only had three big Labour wins in the whole of the 20th and 21st century, three terms of Labour government, and the three biggest wins, of course, came from Tony Blair, when Labour were where? Slap bang in the middle of the road. Now, there's nobody in the middle of the road in the UK now. The Lib Dem party even dragged itself into an extreme Remain position, saying they would renounce the result of the first referendum.
And clearly that didn't go down well, Finn.
No, I think a lot of people have been critical throughout the campaign, and especially these criticisms will ramp up now about Jo Swinson's electoral strategy. It seems kind of remarkable that the Lib Dems made themselves, you know, the unofficial party of Remain in a country full of Remainers, yet they failed to speak really to any of them. But obviously, due to like the vagaries of the first past the post system here, the Lib Dems, you know, actually had a pretty similar amount of votes as they did in 2017, but just had a little bit of a worse time this time round.
Mm-hmm. What were people saying yesterday? I mean, were they saying, listen, we haven't been listened to for the past 3 years, that the political classes were failing to carry out our wishes?
It's hard to know because, you know, as you point out, the country is still very divided along quite ardent Leave and Remain lines. I think the big problem is, and actually where this is where a lot of Labour's failure probably came from, is that in trying to neutralise the Brexit question by trying to say we will renegotiate a deal but then we'll put it to a second referendum, they tried to appeal to Leavers and Remainers at the same time. Unfortunately, what they ended up doing was appearing like Leavers to Remainers and appearing like Remainers to Leavers. Joe Swinson, not neutralising the question, going full force for a revoke, clearly turned a lot of people off as well.
Mm-hmm. There was, you know, that is the other big factor in the election, personality. The more people saw of Joe Swinson, the less they liked him. The more Labour voters, traditional Labour voters, saw Jeremy Corbyn, the less they liked him.
Why so? Because he is, as somebody was saying here earlier, he's the same Jeremy Corbyn that he was 2 years ago when Labour, okay, they didn't win the election, but they did far better than a lot of people had expected.
Well, that's how Labour deluded themselves the last time. You know, some of the left walked away from the 2017 election thinking they had won. They didn't. They lost. You can't change people's lives unless you win power. And you can't win power coming at the UK from the left, from the far left. And Corbyn's personality, his support for Irish republicanism, his hostility, his lack of patriotism, as it seemed to lots of working class voters, his neutrality, his lack of leadership on Scottish independence, where he said, yeah, maybe we'll have a second referendum, his lack of leadership on Brexit showed through. And Boris Johnson, I mean, a man with Shakespearean flaws in his character, huge flaws, a liar, a cheat, a philanderer, excused because he is a personality phenomenon. And you see this, you saw this during the debates and his rare encounters with the public. Boris Johnson, like many populist leaders before him, we can think of another blonde-haired, bouffant leader on the other side of the Atlantic, when people like that...
I was waiting for somebody to make the comparison.
When people like that, when huge clown political figures arrive in the room, people are jaws drop. They think, oh, he really does ruffle us here. And then as the rational arguments come back into people's minds, within 5 minutes, the air goes out of these guys. But populism works. Mm-hmm. It's worked in the Atlantic. It's worked in France in another way. And now it's worked in Britain.
Listen, we're going to have to leave it at that for now. We're going to, in a couple of minutes' time, get the latest business news. The time is 10 minutes to 8.